Fresh Takes. Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Kutcher's Pikachu, we don't evolve, we just level up. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Jacob.
Hello, Papa.
One of these days, I'm going to get a camera on my end, and then you'll get to see my beautiful facial reactions.
Hello, Papa, finally making an appearance, not hiding behind a camera or whatever that symbol is. All right, Michael. Hello. Here to talk Last of Us Season 2, Episode 3, The Path. And can I share a little bit of criticism that I have, Michael?
Yes, absolutely.
This show kind of sucks with episode titles.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one, cuz do you know where the title comes from?
I don't.
It's the last song that I think it's the last song that plays at the end of part 1 when Ellie and Joel have that confrontation. Or in season 1, like if you remember, like that stirring guitar music that kind of comes in. So I think it's kind of a
nod to that.
Yeah, I just looked it up. I just wanted to confirm. Yeah, it is 100% that.
Okay, that makes it a little bit better. But I will.
And Through the Valley was the song. Sorry, I want to interrupt here. And Through the Valley was the song that plays. It's the last song in the episode where, you know, Joel kicks the bucket. It's the song that Ashley Johnson's singing. It's literally from that. I think I haven't seen the rest of the episode titles, but I'd be willing to bet they're all song titles, either from the game or from,
That does media. Make it better, but I will say, like, The Path is such a boring title. And I always think about that because I was, like, titling hello or goodbye Jackson, hello Seattle. And it's not much better, but I'm like, it's at least like top, or, you know, I guess it's more on the nose. I don't know.
I'm going to give you an alternate way to look at there's maybe a phrase that would make the episode title a little bit more tolerable.
What's that?
The path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Ellie doesn't have good intentions.
Well, good intentions are subjective, but I'm just saying.
We must kill for justice, not vengeance. Justice. Trust me, I'm not trying to seek for vengeance. I want justice. Justice. Anyway, that's my review of... All right, that's it. That's our review.
All right, have a great night, everybody.
All right, The Path. What happens? I got a decent amount. There was a lot of stuff that actually happened in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Michael. All right, spoiler warning, by the way, for anyone who hasn't watched any episode of The Last of Us or who hasn't watched up to this episode. This episode doesn't have a whole lot of spoilers. But I'm definitely going to spoil that episode. And if you don't know what that episode is, then don't watch or listen or do. Just know that we will be saying the thing real soon. What happened? Joel died. He's dead forever. It's really, really sad. That happened last episode.
To be fair, if you didn't think he was dead after getting a golf club to the neck, I don't know. I want to live in that fanciful land.
The alternate universe, like, Joel's alive. Mm-hmm. Happy died.
Yep. Tough flip.
All right. Ellie wakes up and screams about her sad reality, which would be honestly terrified. Watch someone die, get knocked out, and then wake up conscious later, and then that's like the first memory, the first thought would be, especially like in a hospital, would just be freaky. 3 months later, 3 months, Michael, three whole months.
They did do a time skip.
They did, as you stated. Jackson is rebuilt, and Ellie leaves the hospital. She's all clear. But before she's all clear, she must speak with the town psychologists, Gail, your favorite.
Mm-hmm.
While talking to Gail, Ellie was very much like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Everything was sad. It was great. He was a great person. But yada, yada, yada. More or less what she did. And Gail prized for information, saying that what Joel said, the last thing that Joel said to her was, he did something to you. And he mentioned that he saved you. And Ellie deflects, talks about how, I know Gail asks, like, was the New Year's Eve dance the last time you saw him? She's like, yeah, I saw him on the porch. I didn't go talk to him. I wish I did. You know, whatever. Real sad. I'm all better. Deflects, moves on. I just wanted to note that because I know that's something that you probably noted, Michael.
Mm-hmm. I did. I clocked that.
Ellie does this really... there was a really cool shot, and I want to give it out to Bella Ramsey. Because after she leaves, and I didn't notice this the first time, really, but I noticed it the second time. After she left that room with Gail in the hospital, she does the whole fake ha-ha-ha-ha, like, laugh, like, I'm Ellie, I'm in a great mood, and she just transitioned through the hallway. And it went from, like, this happiness to this, and it was very subtle. But I really liked how it showed the transformation of Ellie and it went into black. Oh, just yeah. Wanted to point it out. Ellie arrives to Joel's house, touches a lot of things, opens the box, sees the watch that Tommy takes off in the beginning of the episode. Tommy does say, or Joel, he says to Joel, say hi to Sarah for me. Ellie sees the box. And it's almost like a metaphorical choice. Instead of choosing what could be forgiveness in the watch, we'll talk about that later, she chooses violence by grabbing the gun, sees the jacket, and cries into it. Dina arrives and gives Ellie information about the wolves, which is then information shared to Tommy. Lots of pretty vital, important information. Where are they from? Small regional group that was working with the Fireflies, fighting Fedra. More or less, like, they think small pocket, very easy to handle. Dina, at the town hall, which is Jesse is now a part of, several people are against the Seattle Revenge Tour. Seth calls them all cowards and protests that they should seek vengeance. I don't know if he uses the word vengeance, but more or less that's what he's getting at. Ellie then speaks and reads actually a very well-crafted speak asking for justice that is more or less believable. None of this...
Was it?
I thought so. not believable in the sense of, like, oh, yeah, she'll trust the judge. Like, but, like, the whole, like, idea of, like, this is justice. Like, we need to seek these people out because they hurt us. I think it was a... I thought it was a good convincing speech. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's a point that we can talk about. The proposal is rejected 8-3. Tommy speaks with Gail, worried about Ellie. Gail states that some people cannot be saved. Ellie prepares to leave. Dina comes over and says that she's underprepared. You know, where's the medicine? Where's the map? Gives her a bunch of, like, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to go through the forest. We're going to stay off these roads. We're going to stay off avoid the cities. And basically just said, hey, we have people helping us. I'm in. And I wish you would have asked. That help that she found is Seth, which very helpful to the cause, the one who wants the vengeance. Ellie and Seth then share a handshake after Ellie has, to test them several times, but eventually ends with a stare down and a shake of, thanks. Ellie and Dina then visits Joel's grave. She leaves coffee beans in remembrance of Joel. Ellie and Dina travel to Seattle. Dina then, noticing the rain, taking cover. They share a good moment. They talk about the kiss. Mentioned how she's back with Jesse. Brings up that and asks Ellie, is Jesse sad? Does he appear sad? And also fears that, is this sadness just a him thing, or is it something that I do to him? Ellie and Dina arrive upon Dead Seraphites, a group that we earlier had a flashback of. Ellie and Dina note the lack of wolves as they stare upon Seattle. And the last shot is a bunch of wolf members marching through the streets. And that is The Path.
That is The Path. I think this is probably when I texted this to you, Jake, before. Before, and I said, you and I were talking before the show about his discussion here. And I texted you and said, I thought that was one of the best episodes of the season. And I was amazed they keep getting better and better with each season. You brought up a really good counterpoint, which if you'd like to say it now.
I forgot it. Remind me.
You basically just said, like, is it a better episode or do we dislike it because we're getting more lore backstory?
Yeah, on that's our favorite video game. That's too.
So my counter to that is I feel, and this is partially, you're not wrong. That's definitely a good point. And this is one of my, I guess, questions. We'll make it.
Let's segue into it. Five questions to appease Michael.
All right.
Five perfect. Questions now, because we had 22 questions to start the first one. And yes, now we have five questions.
Or eight. In Jake's case.
I wrote eight in preparation. It's my job to be prepared.
That's true. All right. So I guess one of my discussion points was I do feel like this. I can see what some people are like, oh, it's a slower episode. And my counter to that is, of course, it's a slower episode. They literally just had a bombshell one. Like, they're A, budget is not infinite. And B, I do think it does a great job about setting up the audience to take a breath, really evaluate where things are going. And it's slow, but I think it's going to be looked back upon. I'll say like this. It'll probably be slow for the first time you watch it, but I have a suspicion that by the time you're on your full second rewatch of the whole series, you're like, wow, the amount of setup they do here is just incredible.
Was there a lot of people complaining about this episode?
I'm sure I'd seen online, and not a lot, but I'd seen people say, oh, it was really slow. I didn't like it. It was just so like, I just wanted to get to the next thing. And that's where I'm like, I disagree. I mean, it's slow from like a, there's not action. There's a lot happening. The biggest thing is that, like, this is where I'll say in the game, there's really no break. There's no break to breathe when Joel dies in the game. It just, he's dead. You're off on the quest.
Yep.
In this game, you have to see multiple people grapple with his death. You see Ellie's perspective. You see Tommy's perspective. Also, shout out to Gabrielle Luna for
good performance.
That line. Yeah, great performance of Give Sarah My Love. Oh, that that was just a sucker punch. Even in some ways, you see Jesse a little bit. Like, you can tell how much he respected Joel. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, he doesn't outright say he's going to support, but you can tell he's going to go along with the plan for justice. Even to somebody like Seth, who had by all reason to hate Joel, is like, they can't fucking come into our town and do this.
I really love the Seth piece, and I'm going to leave it at that because there is more to say about him. But yes,
that was one thing I wanted to. So, but before we get further that stuff, I think there's a lot happening on this episode in a way that I think people tend to be a little bit. I like how grounded. Sorry, well, technically Last of Us joke there, but I like how grounded this episode was. It gave us time to breathe, gives us time to evaluate. You get to see a lot of stuff kind of happening quietly.
I mean, it's an epilogue of sorts, isn't it?
In a way, yeah, it really is. It's really like if you're going with your five act structure, this is kind of, I'm assuming you would consider this like the lead into to act two.
This would be the epilogue. This would be the epilogue for act one. And then I believe the Seattle pieces would probably be the intro to act two.
You're going to have to send me that article. Cause I'm trying to, I can see how there'd be four acts. I don't see five.
I know.
Unless you're including that the very end of the game is two separate acts.
It's like two separate acts. It's how the video kind of like separated it. For those who were complaining about this episode, and we'll talk rating later. I don't like, this is just part of natural storytelling. So to me, if you're complaining that this story is slow, to your point, like, it was a bombshell episode. It was that episode. It was the episode that like we were all like ready for. And you, when you have bombshell episodes, when you have events, the next episode is generally going to be slow. Like, that's kind of what you need. And that's where Game of Thrones suffered in season eight. It was just a bunch
Too
of,
much,
there was
yeah.
a bunch of things happening. And it wasn't like it was a bad story or
To
bad.
be fair, there was a lot of other, I would argue a little bit of the bad story, a
No,
little bit, but
but like the premise of their ideas wasn't bad. The problem was it wasn't fleshed out. So
yeah,
everything
the
that,
execution was very lacking.
well, like they needed three seasons in the middle of that whole story for it to really make sense. Whereas
I
like,
always explain to people, like, sorry, I'm gonna interject here because I just you got me on the Game of Thrones here. I always explain to people, I feel like the last season of Game of Thrones, the reason why it suffers so much. Any other show, you'd be like, holy shit, this season's crazy.
It was
But
fucking
Game of
crazy.
Thrones, it's never been it was never a show that was very fast paced and like, I mean, you're watching shit happen over the course of
You're
seasons.
watching
Like,
buildup.
yep. And that's where I think this show does a great job. I think the buildup
Oh,
here
yeah.
is excellent. Also, I have a theory
I want to
that
fit.
we're only going to
I
get
do want
two
to finish.
seasons.
I do want to finish my
Okay, sorry.
points.
Go ahead.
But like, yeah, the like this is natural storytelling. If we, it's just event after event after event, and there's no buildup, that's it's boring. Like to me, this episode was amazing in the sense of like, yeah, there was no clickers, yeah, there was no action, but you're seeing a bunch of characters grapple with Joel's death. You're seeing them dealing with it. You're seeing the town work together and figure out, should we attack? Should we not? What does Ellie do in the middle of that? And so, I mean, maybe it's me, for me and you, it's a great episode in the sense of like, we're learning a lot of shit. We're learning even more information. For us, it's like, yeah. So I can sit, maybe see like somebody like, oh, this is not as good as the first two. And it, like, if you want to make that argument to me, I would agree with you. But slower isn't horrible. In the grand scheme of things, slower helps you for the next big event. That's the whole fucking point of a slower episode, is to build up to the next.
That like The Last of Us has always been a character drama first and foremost. The zombies and all that other shit, that's just the backdrop. What it's really always been about is how do these people interact in a world that has lost all sense of rationale, morality, laws. Like, when you strip us down to our basest, what do we become?
Exactly. It's very Walking Dead in the sense of like the story isn't ever really about the zombies, the story is about the people. Last of Us doesn't have a whole lot of clickers in the first season. I think they should have added more clickers, but their whole philosophy was like the story's about love. Like if it doesn't build upon that theme, then we gotta cut it. And I think they should have added a little bit more clickers, and they do something a little bit different this season, and they definitely gave us the clickers that we were complaining about. But yeah, like you can't do action every time. Like this one, like it wasn't like these characters weren't doing anything. It wasn't like a bottle episode. Like they literally skipped 3 months apart, and they ended up going across the country to Seattle. And it is across a fourth of the country. People think Jackson and Seattle are close. It's not that close. It's
That's actually one thing, major props to, I'm sure this is Craig Mazin, because I haven't watched much of his stuff, but apparently he's just a very methodical person.
Oh, I
And I
imagine.
appreciate that he broke down the logic of, like, how would you do this actually? Because, like, video game logic is you just fucking do it. It just happens. You gotta go someplace. We're just there. That's fine. In this medium, it's like, okay, how does in the game, Ellie, she's like, I'm taking off. I'm getting the fuck out of here. See ya. In this world, it's like, oh, we have to have a vote. You have to persuade people. What do people like? You hear a lot of like the ins and outs. And I saw somebody criticizing that online. They're like, oh, it's so methodical. And it's like, yeah, I fucking love that. It actually makes sense. I'm like, yeah, because it's not like you would just take the fuck off.
You're adding lore to the story where it makes sense. So I don't know. I'm for it. I'm for the slower episodes. I'm for the slow build. I like those shows that are slow. I like Game of Thrones when it was slow. If you want something that's all action, watch a different show. Like that's kind of like where I'm at with the people who are complaining about it. Like, yeah, it's slow. If you want the video game that's like constantly has action, go play the video game. Like that's not what this show is. This show's about the characters. This is a character drama. So I don't know. Did you have a question in all that, or was that just a point?
I guess my questions are really more discussion points than questions.
So more like getting your feedback. Well, I guess one question I will ask that kind of ties into this, and I'm thinking it's one of your own questions, is Seth's redemption arc believable, not believable? Is he right? There's a lot of different things to unpack there, but what are your thoughts?
Well, you're taking one of my questions, and I'm fine with that. All right, one of the eight is gone for me. Okay, what is my thoughts on Seth? Is it believable? I think it's absolutely believable, and I really fucking love that they did this. Seth in the game is just a bigot. He does try to give steaks, he does give sandwiches, and that's it. And it does highlight a very cool point that I don't know we ever talked about. But this show went further with that point, and I fucking love that they did that. Seth is a bigot. He calls out Ellie and Dina. And the thing what happens is, he gets called out. Joe punches him. They have this whole scuffle. And then Seth gives her sandwiches, right? Ellie's like, fuck no, whatever. I'm not accepting your apology. I hear it. I acknowledge it. I'm not eating bigot sandwiches. That's what was said in the game, not the show. Here's the part that's crazy, though. What is this game / show about? What's the main focal point? Vengeance, revenge, but really it's about forgiveness. And we won't go further upon it because that's really what this game is about. And Michael, you made this point before. Ellie does not redeem Seth in the game, but she does hear it in the show because he takes it a step further. He is a bigot. He is against Ellie and Dina. 2003, they were very against the LGBTQ community. A lot of people were. That was the majority. I grew up in it. So Seth being from that era makes sense. But here's the thing. He can be a bigot. He can have those views. He's apologized for it. And then he helped them out because they aligned on a different set of views. People came in the town and killed Joel. He wanted vengeance. She wanted vengeance. They think it's the right thing to do to show people that they're not cowards.
Wait, can I interject with something?
Can I finish? I'll finish my point first. Then yes.
Okay.
My point is, in this moment, Ellie, after he helps him out, after he does all these actions of retribution and helps her escape, Ellie forgives him. He redeems him, which is the whole point of Ellie's arc moving forward. And I apologize for those if that spoils anything. It is in a way that I'm just going to stop talking.
I'm going to fight you a little bit on this.
Okay.
I'm going to fight you a little bit. Okay. I'm going to say a couple things first off. I think there's a very different thing going on between Ellie and Seth. I think there's a couple questions you have to ask yourself as an audience member, and the game. I feel like the show doesn't kind of is like, hey, you got to decide this yourself. One question is can people change? I think this is a big question the game and the show ask.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, like, can you accept somebody's bad, like, accept their flaws, yes, and look beyond them?
Mm-hmm.
And are they truly capable of it? That's another part of it. The other thing is, I don't know if they are on the same side here. Because I don't think Seth wants vengeance. Seth wants justice, which is very different from vengeance. Vengeance is, I don't care what's morally right.
Oh, right. Okay, yes.
I
agree.
Vengeance is, I want payback. I want you to hurt the way you hurt me. True justice is, I just want things to be made right, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Because, if somebody kills somebody in our world, justice isn't necessarily putting them on execution.
Didn't he say he wants to make them pay, like, for attacking them? Isn't that not vengeance?
Yes, but I think that I think it's a very, it's not a personal, it's like, you got to know, like, justice is a way of, like, saying, if you do this, these are the actions to your, or these are the consequences to your actions. And I think that's Seth's take on it, is they came into our town, they killed one of our own, and then they just get away with it. That's not okay. That's not justice. Ellie doesn't give a rat's ass. If they brought all the members back to Jackson, let's say hypothetical, and they had a trial and they said, we're not going to kill you, we don't believe in that, we're going to put you to work, you're going to be in jail, prison, whatever, Ellie wouldn't care.
that's not going to be good enough to her. She's not, that's not mm-hmm. acceptable. She mm-hmm. wants vengeance, and vengeance is a very,
well,
very,
I do want to remind you that we are going into game territory just a little bit. But I see, I get your points.
Mm-hmm.
I think like at the end of the day, their goals are not the same, but their stated goals are. The stated yes. goal is she wants to go and kill Abby. I think Seth wants the same thing, but it's not necessarily the same as... I agree with you. I think Seth is seeking justice, and I think his point is about the town.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie, more or less, she states that she seeks justice in the show. In the game, we know that it's not necessarily that... Well, it is that simple, but it's not, that's not necessary. Like what Gail said, she was lying through her teeth through all of that.
The liar.
And I agree with it. But I can't, we can't say much more. I think this is a point that we have to table until later on, because right now in the show, we've only seen her state that she seeks justice, but it's very heavily hinted that she wants vengeance. And from us playing the game, we know that to be true, and we won't state.
So,
we can't really state much further without going into spoiler territory.
I won't say much further. I'll just say I do think the show makes it pretty clear it's vengeance for her, because I think if it was justice, mm-hmm. she would have accepted the word of the council.
The thing, the point that I wanted to get on this though is Seth is another Abby for Ellie, and this is an example of her forgiving, and I think. Forgiveness.
I don't know if I would say she forgives him.
Okay, but like there was a moment of forgiveness, like a moment of like thank you. There is that. At least that's
I would agree with
that. That's how I read it. So there was a moment. I'm not saying like forgiveness as in they're going to be best friends, or like when they come back, like they're going to have a positive relationship. Forgiveness is like, you know what? Like I see that you're an ally. I see that you're helping. I accept your help. And I nod your help. Like, I thank you for this help in the way that Ellie does. So that's where I'm like, forgive. She's forgiving Seth. It's no, like, when they come back, they're not going to have that issue anymore. She forgave and they're moving on. And I think that's a sub point to the show that we can never, we can't further elaborate on until later. But I think it's a point to just acknowledge. Okay.
I was waiting for you. Yeah.
My bad. I was like, move on or no? I don't like.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I can agree with that. I think sometimes I'll be the first to admit, like when I hear forgiveness, I think about the classical definition of we're all good.
Oh yeah.
Come to the barbecue and hang out afterwards.
I mean, the relationship went to the same. That's, I guess that's how I see forgiveness, is like your relationship went back to what it was normally. He's still a bigot. At the end of the day, or like, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, maybe he learns from that. I don't know.
Well, I think that's a question the show brings up too, is can people change? Can people, can somebody accept they did something wrong and say, hey, I'm going to try to do better? Cause like,
yeah,
anything, like I'm not agreeing with what Seth did, but you bring up a good point. Like he's a product of his time and he isn't choosing to hold in this moment. He's choosing to say, no, you have to go after Joel's killers. Like
he stuck up for Ellie here.
Yeah. Yep. He stuck up for Ellie the way same Joel stuck up for Ellie when she was wronged by Seth previously. And I think that's where it's interesting, where I'm so torn. He's such a, that's why I love this fucking show.
My, my question is Seth redeemed? That was my question. Is he redeemed? And I'll be honest, I'm a heavy yes.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm a heavy yes here.
With the context we have in this story, I would say yes, barring anything else changing.
Right. I'm not saying he's a good person. I'm not saying he's not a bigot. I'm not saying like he's not those things, but I'm like, in this moment, from what we've seen on the show, like he had one bad moment. He apologized for it. He did more than restore it or attempt to restore it with sandwiches. He then, 3 months later, after something really bad happened with Ellie, like... Mm. Did the one thing that helped her achieve her goal, which is escape Jackson discreetly. And I'm like, I don't know how you can redeem yourself more. And I'm not saying he's not a good person. There's not other things going on. I'm just saying from what we've seen, I'm like, dude, I didn't think I was going to be a Seth fan thanks to this show. I didn't think he was going to be redeemed. I thought he's like, oh, he's a bigot. And they were going to leave it at that. At least that's, I'm heavy, but I'm like, I love the fucking theme because like, it's just for later on. And I'm like, we gotta remember this moment because like in the game, it was subtle, but this is less than subtle.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I have my question.
Hit me, brother.
Okay. Do we like dark hair Ellie? Do we like part two Ellie, season two Ellie? Because we mentioned the change in the hallway, the transformation scene, and I made a point, and I was talking through my notes before this, and I'll just state it now. Bella Ramsey is the prime example of an actor or an actress who doesn't look like the character she's supposed to play, but feels like the character she is supposed to play. And we got this transformation from season one, kid like Ellie, to season two, I'm going to fucking kill some shit, Ellie. And it's magnificent. I think she did a really good job. My question for you, Michael, is do we like this dark hair Ellie? Is it working for us? Is it vibing?
This is actually one of my discussion points with you is, this is the first I've seen a lot of complaints this mm-hmm. season about Bella Ramsey not being like Ellie, especially the Ellie being on part two.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they did this, I think I should refer to her as they, sorry. I don't know if you know this. She does go by they, them. But
she does? Okay. Her,
they go by, that's, that gets me every it's fucking time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go by, whatever. I think they did a great job this episode.
Mm-hmm.
They showed us that they're capable of, with Ellie's character here, we see this transition from her, from being kind of in the beginning of the season, you kind of get a little bit more part one Ellie, that mm-hmm. naive
kid Ellie.
Kid Ellie, yeah. And it's like the hospital scene happened, and there's
innocent
shit.
Ellie.
Innocent. It's like, she's like, I don't, I'm not who I am anymore. It's, that part of her has broken irreparably. I'm going to say irreparably. I think irreparably. And I see like specifically, like, especially when they were on their way to Seattle, I saw that a lot. I'm like, oh yeah, there it is. That's what I was waiting for. That is what I was waiting for.
She became the gruff Joel and Dina's Ellie now. And that's how it was in the games. But like in the show, like, yeah, like Ellie's just kind of quiet and like, I do like her cat and Viper moment, though. And yeah, I forget.
That got a little. I did see that was a little campy because they brought it up like two times. I was like, all right.
But it's cute. It is. It's That's cute. Fair. It's That's cute. Fair. And it's just like, is that cat and Viper? He's like, no, it's just me. I'm trying to be a badass. He's like, you don't have to try. You're Ellie. You're already a badass. And I'm like, it is like cliche. And like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's cliche, but it's definitely like, you know, it's a little cringe, but like, that's kind of how couples work. When you're in a happy relationship, you kind of gloss each other up. Like, I've said a bunch of cringy shit to my wife. My wife says a bunch of cringy shit to me, and I'm sure that you and Haley are the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm just
I would say this kind of, I'm going to intersect. Okay. Well, okay. Same thing. This leads into one question I had. Mm. My apologies. I keep interrupting. I get so.
No, you're good. I do the same. No one says no to me because it's my show. So, like, you're good.
So, what do we think about the fact that Dina and Ellie are not in a relationship?
Oh, that's a good question. I didn't write that one.
Good one. All interesting. Right. I have some stuff that would get into spoiler territory. I'll be very vague about this if I can, unless you think it's a bad idea.
I think I know what you're going to be talk about, and I think
I'll put it in the chat. I'm going to put it in the chat here. Chat, we're having a little side conversation.
We're doing show spoilers. Joel is dead, but we are not doing game spoilers.
We should do a game spoiler at the very last episode. We should do a game spoiler of everything we've seen so far.
Yes, yes, of course. Game comparison. What are you writing?
Okay, I'm posting it there. Also, I'm going to text you. I'm going to message you what I think the next episode title will be. You can tell me if you think this is something the audience can know. This goes with my theme of
Your question.
Do you agree with that take? Do you agree with that take?
Yes, I agree. I had the same. I have the same thoughts.
I think that also I sent you what I think they'll make the next episode title.
That's a good.
It doesn't look like they've announced it.
We'll talk about. We can do a new segment called episodes. Future episode titles. From what you stated about like future game stuff, I agree. Can't really say more about it. Ellie and Dina not being in a relationship is interesting because like I don't think they were ever. They weren't technically in a relationship. They were just both available. And they were together by themselves, and they did have like a romantic moment in the game, but they haven't had it in the show. And everything's new. And I think what they're doing is different. I think in the show, and I think it's going to be next episode, if not the episode after. I think next episode, because there's one flashback episode that we're waiting on. I'm gonna guess. I think you're right. Episode 6.
God, if they do, that's gonna hurt.
That's
gonna be the.
but I think what they're doing is similar to last year. I think they're gonna build up that relationship rather than have it just be a relationship that's just assumed. I think they're building up.
I think you're right, and I think that is one major criticism I would have of the game is that relationship is just so. Okay, and it feels very forced upon you.
It feels forced unless you like play all the extra segments and like in those segments you're paying attention to their banter back and forth, because the banter back and forth in the game kind of shows their love, like you see like how great of a couple they are. You see them be act not like a couple, but they're partners, right? At least on the journey, and you see the dynamic, and the dynamic is cute. It is like when they're together, I'm like, this is kind of adorable to see. Like, this is like breaks my heart where it goes, but it is, at least for me, adorable. But like if you just focus on like the big moments and you don't, if you didn't go into like those sections of the game, it does feel forced, because it's like, oh, they're a relationship, they're a couple, but like they're not a couple, but like it's in the works, it's happening. Can't really say.
It's kind of strange, yeah. It's very strange compared to like what I think you said perfectly there. Because the first game had such like a slow burn to that building of trust and like companionship.
But they had 5 years, which is like the hard part. Yeah. Is all these,
how do you commit that in a game though? That's the fucking problem. All these, you're just perfect.
All these characters had 5 years to bond, and we kind of jump into like the middle of those relationships, and we see the end of some relationships. So it's, yeah, I think in the show though, it's interesting that they're not in a relationship, but it makes, it's a change that I'm excited to see. And I feel like it's going to be closer to what it is in the games. It's just a different way to get there. I guess that's how I see it. Okay. Let's talk about, let's talk about Jackson, and then we'll go back to the Seattle stuff. And I kind of have a double question, so I'm going to go twice. First, who are the three that voted yes for Seattle? I only really know of three on the council, and I think this is what they're assuming. But I'm also, I question it too.
I think this is pretty easy. I do think it is just Tommy, Maria, and Jesse. I don't think it could be any other way. And the reason I say that is like, all three of them were close enough to Joel that I think they're just kind of like, I think it's supposed to be obvious that they're like gimmies, and they're like, especially because like in Jesse's mind, he's like, give me a good reason, Ellie. And then I think he was kind of like, yep, I agree with that. That's sound reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, obviously. And then Maria, obviously, for their family. Like you just, if anything happened to any one of us, we would do the same. It would be, yeah, I'm going to be with you no matter what.
I agree with you on two. I think Jesse's still like not as, like Tommy, I'm like, it's 95%, 100%. Jesse, I'm like, it's like 75, 80%. There's a chance that he said no. I think like the writers have him saying yes. But I'm like, there's a chance he says no here. I question Maria. And I only question it because of the game. She was the one that was like, no. Whereas in the show, she's not the main person saying no. But I also don't know if she would vote yes here. I don't know. We didn't really get much of Maria, and I'm somewhat disappointed by that. But I also feel like the 3 to 8 vote is meant to suggest that those three voted yes. I don't know if we'll ever get the answer to this question, but I'm like, if Maria voted yes, like it's what it implies, it's a change from the games. And that's all I really have to say about it.
Yeah, I think it is, because otherwise I would say could conceivably not be one of them if we knew actually if we really didn't know any of the other council members. But I think because we know three of them, it's just easy to put. Maybe not, but I'd be very surprised. And I can't say anything else. I'll say, given where I believe where they're going to take the story, I think I'm inclined to believe that's the case. I'll leave it at that.
Yes. All right. Here's my second follow-up question to it. Is Jackson right for not seeking to kill Abby?
I think, okay, so pragmatically speaking, absolutely yes.
Yes. Okay.
I think, like, if I'm being truly pragmatic, if it's not your family, they can still love and miss Joel, but say, realistically, we don't know what's waiting for us. We already just lost a shitload of people, and we have to rebuild this city. We've been
Rebuilt
like,
this
big
city.
thing. And I
Sorry.
think, just in general, like, they just got it. Like, it would just be very.
In the game, it was a lot more pragmatic, whereas like we don't have enough people for you guys to go. In the show, I think there's a lot more people.
I think there's a lot more people, but people have lost enough, and it's kind of like just like how much more are you willing to lose? And like, I think the other thing is like, what retribution happens?
You
Are they
know,
gonna essentially like that's I mean, cycle of violence, big theme.
this is I thought about this question, and I thought about like who's right here, and I'm weirdly on the side of Seth and Ellie. And I'm trying to think, is it just because, you know, I'm on Ellie's side here and also somewhat a fan of Seth now, which is something I never thought was going to happen because of the show. If you told me I was going to be a Seth fan, a fan of Seth, I'd be like, fuck you, you're lying to me. But I guess I'm a fan of Abby too, I guess. So I guess it's not that surprising. But I was just thinking about this because, like, I feel like philosophically, I'd be like, no, we shouldn't seek vengeance here. But I kind of agree with Ellie in a sense. She kind of sold me a bit, but not necessarily in the way that she will go about it. I'm not sold on that piece of it. What I'm sold on is the idea that they don't know anything really about this attack. They just know that this group from Seattle came to their town to kill Joel for things that Joel did, and they killed Joel. And they also left knowing that they were able to do this. And that's all they know. They don't know much about Liberation Front. They know that it's a small group. They think it's a small group, but they don't know. And my thought is, you don't know what this threat, this potential threat, no, it is a threat, came to them and killed a fundamental member of their community. And Joel was their contractor. He was a huge important piece to that town, not just a person who does things on the side. He was an important piece. Somebody came in and killed him. There are threats. And I think the choice of not addressing the threats is incorrect. And ultimately the wrong choice. Because eventually in time, maybe not in 5 years, maybe not in 10 years, but if both groups remain the same, eventually these groups will cross path again, and this history will be there that, hey, we killed one of theirs and they didn't do anything about it, and now they have resources we want, and they're gonna think about how. So I think, should they go in and just guns blazing kill their person and leave? Probably not. Shit way to go about it, honestly, because that group would feel the same. Wouldn't they just go back? Wouldn't Jackson put a target back on their back? But I do think they should have sent a party demanding justice. They should have sent a party to at least scout and see the, like, I think they should have got at least information to see what they're dealing with, and also seeking vengeance and that death or whatever the execution. I think they should have sent people. I don't think they should have sent people to go to, execute, but I think there should have been at least political negotiations, because this is going to be a group you're going to, if everything goes well, and if it goes well for them too, this is a group that you're going to encounter again. Yes, they're far away, but they're not that far away.
So here's my counterpoint to this. I get what you're saying. I am team. It's right for them not to go. And the reason I would say that is like also the prag. So there's pragmatic if they lost people, but they also don't actually know
They
if
don't.
they're there.
They don't.
They could have stolen it out. Like they talk about that in the. I think they talk about the game. Like they could have stolen that backpack. There's no evidence whatsoever. It's literally, and it's the only reason Ellie's going as far as she can because. This kind of relates to a question of mine, which is like our discussion, because questions are apparently not my forte. But where it goes for me, I think, is they don't know where these people are actually from. Ellie was just gonna go here because she's on a quest for vengeance. It doesn't matter if it's not that. She'll go. She'll keep searching. And it's because like it's what Tommy and Gail kind of talk about this, but I want to, it kind of leads into my next question I want to say is like, if Ellie is, how do they phrase it? Where she talks about how they walk side by side, like that bit of violence with them, where like, is Ellie like that? Is she just kind of like, they were walking step in step in terms of like, God, I'm fucking messing this up. It's really hard to explain, extrapolate. But do you get what I'm saying though? Like, because they talk, like Gail talks about how she doesn't believe that like this is like a new side of Ellie. This is 100% like turns out nature can only do or nurture can only do this much, and like that's in her nature of like it doesn't matter. That's what I'm trying to get at. Is like that's just in her nature of like it doesn't fucking matter. She could go to Washington, burn the goddamn place to the ground, not find Abby, and she'd keep looking. She would go to the ends of the earth.
Sometimes you can't save people.
I agree. Oh, I hate that. Well, I'm going to say that is what.
I think the thing to keep in mind is, you know Ellie's true intention, right? You know what ultimately is going to happen. These people do not. So I'm thinking just from the point of like, simply just from the town folks, these people came in, they killed Joel. Like, yeah, what Ellie eventually will do is not great. But I think, like, is the proposal to go and execute Abby great? No. I think that should have been vetoed. But I do think they're wrong not to send people simply for scouting reasons. Even if it wasn't like a, approach and talk things through political negotiations, I think if you're going to be a civilization, you're going to have to interact with other civilizations. You're going to have a essentially an internet. You're going to have a, what's the word for it? An ambassador, or somebody that can talk on your behalf for your group. And like, I think it's just necessary to either scout or at least go talk to people. You
I
would
think my
think.
like I can see what you're saying, but I think the problem is like we're failing to consider a just how far that is from each other. Like we're talking, it might as well be on the other side of the world for them, with the infected being an element. Like you have, it's just it's you have no. If it was like yeah, we can get there in a few days, we're not gonna run into any problems. But there's never that guarantee. You're sending out a lot of risk, a lot of like.
Right, but like they're offering 18 of their best people. Like, what if you counter with like
What I
10
think.
people?
What I think would make more sense, what I would be willing to agree with, is like the city, the council's like, okay, do we have people that volunteer to go? And if they did, then send them, rather than say the council decides.
Right, and
You know
I
what I mean?
or just they let Abby or they let Ellie go,
Yeah,
and
that I
then.
don't understand. Like, if she wants to go, she should be able to go. Let her take what she, wish her well.
And they didn't really dive into that at all in the game. They did a lot because I think Ellie was a bigger, important piece. Not that like she isn't important, she is just not. It's not the same as like because like in the game it was like a few hundred people. In the show it's like a few thousand, or at least it feels that way.
a decent sized city for sure.
It seems like a bigger city in the show than it does the game. So like Ellie going and Ellie and Tommy and them going is like, okay, we're losing a lot of good people. We don't have that right now. Whereas like in the show, it's like you really can't afford people, but like there's at least enough for a scouting party. Or like, hey, we can't do this now, but it's on the agenda. This is something we need to address. I guess that's my standpoint on it. I'm curious, how far is Jackson Hole from Seattle?
It's a while. We didn't look this up in one of the last episodes.
We did.
Jackson Hole, dude. I literally looked up Jackson Hole too, and it literally was like to Seattle by horse. It's one of the first. Just over a week, possibly 8 or 9 days.
Okay.
Like, I'm seeing.
I don't think a scouting party would be that ridiculous. But anyway, I digress because we have war points to get to, and we're getting near that 1 hour point that we are mm-hmm. really good at passing. Oh, yeah. Do you have a question? Oh, you did ask a question. Okay. I did have is Gail right about not saving people? We already talked about that. I don't want to mention this because this is spoiler territory, so I'm going to save this question.
Okay.
But I just want you to acknowledge Tommy didn't go to the Seattle, and I want to leave it at that. I think it's interesting.
I noticed that too.
But we can't mention more. All right.
I posted my theories on what that is, and that's all.
I'm gonna make this a 2-part question, and then we're gonna be done, and we'll move on. All right. Or like you can finish up with your questions. Okay, this is for Seattle. Seraphites, we get to see a flashback of them, or maybe this is like a regular, but a flashback scene of the Seraphites walking in the woods. Girl and her dad all having scars on their face. Talking about the prophet and how the prophet isn't helping them. It's been 10 years since she's passed. And just talking about like how more or less the cult works. My question is, are the Seraphites talking any sense, or are they just a crazy cult? Because like sometimes I'm like, I see it. But other times I'm like, you guys are very cult-like.
Well, I think... Let me figure out how to phrase this diplomatically. They survive the world through their faith. And there are people in our world that do the same.
Yes.
And if you're not part of that community,
you don't understand.
You don't understand. It's always going to look like a cult to you. Always.
That's fair.
I don't think they're necessarily. What I think is interesting is I really like how they're kind of changing up our first interaction with the Seraphites.
I like how we got to see them. In a non-violent way.
Yes, yes. I'm not going to say anything else because I doubt that that's going to remain the case forever, but...
And their first interaction with the other group is... At least, we see the result of their violent action.
Yeah.
My last question for you is... That last scene with the wolves... Is that a scene that felt great to you? Or are you leaning where I'm leaning... Where it kind of felt a little cable TV-ish.
It felt a little cable TV-ish, but think about what's happening at that point in the story. God, this is so fucking hard without spoiling it. Think about the structure of the game, what happens, and it does, you're like, oh yeah, that would make sense, like, why that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, they're moving.
I think that event happening the way it does, and you gotta be careful, we gotta be so fucking careful here. I think that event happening, it's not just like a, oh, look at these guys. There is something happening there. It's not just an army of people marching for no reason.
They talked about like, oh, there's not a lot of people. We got this. And then immediately like, here's a platoon?
Platoon, yeah, I would say it's a platoon.
Yeah, like a platoon. Like, and we know the game. We know that there's more. And I'll leave it at that. But I will say, like, my thought process is we're getting, like, KC size. Maybe Pittsburgh size of people. Like, yeah, a squad of two can do damage and can do things, but like in a very guerrilla sense, guerrilla tactics, guerrilla warfare sense. And I don't think we can say much more until next
No.
time on Last of Us.
What
Michael, enter the title now.
I think it'll be?
Yes.
Take on me.
Next time on Last of Us.
Take on me.
Season 2, Episode 4, Take On Me, where Jake will complain about the title once again. I don't care to name their names, it's boring. The Path is a horrible name. And
I don't.
this is someone who read the comic or, called the, or wrote a comic called The Trail. It's a shit name. I'm not saying it. Yeah. I do it too. I do it too. All right, Michael, ratings.
Okay, wait, I'm gonna get it's letters, pluses and minuses.
No, it's not letters, it's numbers. It's 1 out of 5.
God damn it. How do I keep getting I'm gonna fucking get this
I
stapled.
don't know how, like, I could do something more
I don't know
interesting.
how. I no, you're good. I don't know why my brain is just like
I mean,
letter.
is it, I mean, it's more or
That's
less like A, B, C, D, F,
no, I'm sticking with the
right?
numbers. I keep sticking with the numbers, but I'm like my brain is
The reason why I don't do letters is because everyone thinks of like school grading. I'm like, it's not quite that, and I don't want it to be like the tier list because I'm like, I like, I don't know.
gonna get it. You know what? I'm gonna get it next week. I'm gonna make a note for myself right now, everybody. I'm doing this on the pod. I gotta find a pen here. I'm raiding my wife's. Wait, there we go.
What do you have for this episode?
Okay, I'm getting there, but I gotta make a note so I don't get this wrong. All right, this episode, four plus, I'd say.
4+. I'm at like a 4. And it's not a bad 4. It's like a, I don't, the storytelling's elite for the most part, but it's like there's not like an elite moment. Like this is an episode of, like, I think this is going to be elite season, and I think this is an episode of an elite season, but I don't think this is an elite episode in the sense of like there was a lot of moments where I'm like, damn, it's a good character moment, or like, damn, that was really good acting. I thought it was just like, it's a great episode. And I'm like, there's, I think 4-, there's nothing wrong with it. I can't say it's elite, but I'm like, it's great. It's a great episode.
I can get behind that.
I don't think it's the best one. Maybe it's the second. I think the last one was a little bit better. I don't know.
I think I'd give it a 4+ because it's the same way I felt like Kin was one of the strongest episodes last
Oh,
season,
yeah, that makes sense.
where it's very slow, but there's a lot of character stuff happening. There's a lot of setup. There's a lot of stuff that will be of great import as the story continues.
Yeah.
Also, I do have a prediction I want to make at the end of this episode.
Okay. Let's get into MBC, MBB, best new character. MBC, I have a, I'm curious what you think.
Most valuable character. I'm gonna give it to my girl Dina. I don't know, actually. It depends on what you're saying. Like, most valuable actor, I'd give it to Bella Ramsey. They
Oh,
really
yeah.
like delivered this episode. This is where I'm like,
That's different.
there we fucking go. That's what I've been waiting for.
That's different. That's different. I feel like, oh, we
Okay.
need a new category though. MVA, most valuable actor slash actress.
I think in this case.
MVP, most valuable performer. There we
All
go. That's how we put it in.
right. Well, most valuable performer is definitely Bella Ramsey. They
Yes,
finally, like
100%.
to me, delivered what I was looking for season two Ellie. And maybe it's too early to say that, but so far I'm seeing that more rough exterior kind of come through.
Yeah.
Or it's there's probably a phrase for it. I'm just blacking on it. But most valuable characters definitely Dina,
I agree.
for sure.
I have Dina number one. She came in clutch, just helping Ellie. And I think like in the game too, like this part of it, like Dina is really like, she's like the weird, like, ooh. You know what, who she is, who Dina is? She has the same relationship that Sarah had with Joel. And Dina then has a similar relationship with Ellie. Joel struggles to take care of himself. Sarah often would come in to take care of, like, oh, I'm gonna bake your birthday cake. Oh, I'll make breakfast for you. Hey, Dad, get up. It's time to go to work. Hey, we're making these plans. Like, Dina is that type A person that Ellie needs. And like, Sarah had to become the type A person because that wasn't Joel. So it's a really similar, and Sarah was mentioned in this episode. So I just had
That
that
is
brain
true.
blast. So,
I like it. I like
all right. Dina is she's Sarah incarnated, reincarnated, and really that might actually work. Which is if that was like, ooh, conspiracy theory, Michael.
it. I don't. I guess it could. Yeah, it could.
Dina is the reincarnation of Sarah, and now there's a messed up relationship of Joel's daughter and Joel's
In Joel's
daughter.
daughter. Oh.
But here's the
What?
thing. Who also
Is
loves
it an H
Joel?
is it an HBO
Who
show if there isn't incest?
it's not incense. But
Well,
who also loves Joel? Like a father figure. When we didn't mention this episode,
yeah.
Dina, I loved him too. I loved him too. And like Joel, Dina and Ellie, just like looking at if they were if they do become a couple in the show, who would be smiling from heaven? Probably Joel.
Yeah, from heaven?
From heaven.
You think he's going up to
Oh,
the
yeah, okay.
fluffy
I don't even.
white? Depends.
Yeah, it really depends on the qualifications of heaven
Guess
or a
so.
positive
Maybe
afterlife.
we'd have to see what happened if,
Good
if
intentions?
like the Lord ever gave him another
Hey,
chance. I wonder
Joel
what
had good intentions.
he did. I do. I agree with that. Good intentions.
Paved the way to hell.
Oh,
All right, this is a really interesting one this week, Michael. MVV, most valuable villain.
don't really. Was there really a villain this time?
No, that's why this is interesting because I think there's answers. It's just like not a solid one.
Honestly, I would say still here's we. I guess I didn't really answer this.
I have three potential ones.
And
But
I would say, because I didn't really get to go off too much on this, but I would actually put Gale.
that's a white blood.
Because my thing is like she's so. I don't agree with her take that people can't be saved.
Yeah, I
I
agree.
don't. I think that's too reductive of human nature. Like, sure,
I
some
don't
people
think she,
can't.
I don't think she's a, I think she's good, great at calling people out. I think she's really call great on calling people on her bullshit. I don't think she's good at healing people. Or like, I don't think she's good at intentionally healing people. I think she unintentionally heals people.
Kind of stumbles into it. Well, I think she's also a broken person herself, and like kind
Oh,
of what she says to
100%.
Tom is she has no way of like, getting her own shit baggage off her mind either. So I get
100%.
it.
100%. And I think that's kind of the point. She's kind of a shit therapist. Even though like she has the skills to be a really good therapist, she's kind of a bad intention therapist. Or maybe she's a good intention therapist who does things in a kind of unethical manner.
Definitely
Who
that.
that? Okay. My other person, my other MVP is Jackson.
I was gonna say in an abstraction way, yeah,
And
Jackson.
it's like Jackson the console, Jackson the city, I think is honestly the MVP here. In the sense of like, I think they're kind of stumbling in their own way, in a sense, where it's like, I don't know. I think Gale might be in, like, if we have to go individually, it's Gale. But if we're going like group, Jackson, and then I have the wolves in there just because they do slaughter a group of people, and that's pretty villainy. So by action, it's wolves. Individually, it's Gale, but as a force, it's Jackson. Can we roll with that?
I think,
I mean,
yeah.
that's a fair answer. I mean, if we had to say it's one, it's Gale. But it's kind of by like default of she's the only individual villain. Best new character, I'm gonna just say Dina. I think she wins over Gale.
Yep.
And that's it. Prediction time, Michael.
Oh, from what I think is gonna happen for the rest of the season?
Yeah. Take
I
on
think we're only
me.
getting 2 seasons. I think we're only getting 2 seasons for part two.
Yeah, I can see
That's my guess.
that.
I think that's what's gonna happen here.
Unless they extend, season four and they extend the act five of the game, or act four slash act five. I don't remember exactly where it falls. That's where I'm just like, I can see them extending season three or making season three or season four a mini-ish season.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either. What if they like do the whole Las Vegas Palm Side stuff that, from the diaries, and they do an like, I feel like in order for them to do a season four, they have to make up their a lot of their own stuff and also find a really a good ending that's is satisfactory. But I don't hate it. I don't hate the prediction because I can see it.
I think, I mean, I have mixed feelings on it. Part of me is because I don't, there, you know, there's something I specifically am looking forward to. Mm-hmm. That I want to have happen sooner, not too soon, not too soon.
Which they allude to.
But I want to have, but I would rather see, how do I phrase this? I think how the story structure is, I just don't, I just have this feeling. I just have this feeling.
I got a feeling.
It all depends on where episode 7 ends. That's really, that's going to be the linchpin for this whole thing.
We'll table it for season 3 talk, full spoilers and all. Or I guess we have to do a non-spoiler. We'll talk about it later once we have more information. All right. Michael, anything else before we depart?
I don't think so. I'm just really enjoying, like, I do maintain, I think this is going to be an episode that people are like, oh, this is so slow, but then they're going to rewatch it and be like, holy shit.
I'm going to say, I have one thing to say. Mm-hmm. Go Wolves.
Ew.
Go Wolves, baby.
You're not wrong. You might want to add the context there, considering this, the wolves of this story slaughter a bunch of women and children.
For those who are not watching the video, I'm wearing a Timberwolves jersey. We were filming this, recording on the day of Game 5 Lakers versus Timberwolves. So go Wolves. You guys aren't hearing this till tomorrow, so hopefully it's good, you know, the series is over and we're not going to LA in season 4. Yeah, that's a callback. Anyway, El Papi, Michael Schumer, thank you very much. This is your host, Jake Sherbing, signing off. Fresh takes, get your fresh takes here. Last of Us season 2 episode 3, The Path. Adios.
See you guys. We'll see you next week.